8 o'clock, Jim Davis, Katie Mitchell, her final show with us today. Pyle, it's your chance to say goodbye to Katie today. She's moving over to Denver. Got some great things lined up career-wise, so we're thrilled for her and chance to be with Zoe, your daughter, after she's graduated high school and starting that next chapter of her life. You get to start a new chapter of her life.
Yeah, so, we get to do it together.
Get to do it together. I think that's so cool.
That is neat.
All right, so we have a lot to do on the program today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Should Colorado, if the opportunity is there, which I don't know if it's going to be, if the Big 12 goes into survival mode, they lose Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. Should Colorado consider going back to the Big 12? It's going to be also, who else is going to join that party, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Could Nebraska be persuaded to leave the Big 10 to go back to the Big 12? That would help.
Yeah.
It's a nationally known brand, whether they've been successful or not in recent years. It's still a brand name.
Oh, yeah. Husker football is still big.
Also, could the Big 12 try to get somebody like BYU to join up, who's right now an independent football program? And Paul Feinbaum, we play some of his comments, and I think he's right when he says the Pac-12, they're kind of a non-factor in this whole thing right now.
Yeah.
Could they make themselves a bigger factor by adding, for example, BYU? I mean, there's a point where BYU, when Colorado and Utah went to the Pac-12, BYU thought that they were going to be that other, the Utah team that would go and would not be University of Utah, that the Pac-12 wanted them. The Pac-12 spurned them for Utah. But I'm thinking if you're BYU, your hurt feelings are probably, your heart is healed.
Yeah. You're at least considering it now, right?
Because let's be honest, for Notre Dame and for BYU, you're probably your top two independent programs in the country. And Notre Dame is the biggie by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
That your time as an independent with the expansion of the college football playoffs is probably coming to an end. Now, this last season, Notre Dame played as a member, or they played in the ACC championship game against Clemson. They already have a connection there, and that would make them a 16-team conference if Notre Dame joins up as a full-time regular member. It kind of makes some sense because the relationship's already there.
Yeah.
But there's the TV contract that Notre Dame has that's a hurdle. Same situation with Texas, with the Longhorn Network. But I think those things get resolved in some kind of prorated buyout or whatever, most notably from ESPN, which is going to have the rights to the SEC coming up in 2024. But Feinbaum said, there's one other school out there that I think is very valuable, can help either the Big 12 or the Pac-12, and that is BYU. BYU, where Zach Wilson obviously had a sensational season for the Cougars. BYU is one of the winningest programs of the last 50 years of college football. They're not a brand name as strong as Notre Dame by any stretch of the imagination. But it's not like pardon the religious reference here, it's not like they're the little sisters of the poor.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a program that brings some clout and brings a fan base.
Yeah.
And for them to join the Pac-12 would probably make a lot of sense. But I'm with Paul Feinbaum on this. I don't think the Big 12 survives this. I think the vultures come out. The American, the Big 10, maybe the Big 10 brings in Iowa State and West Virginia. Kind of fits in their footprint nicely. That the Pac-12 raids, maybe it's TCU. Maybe they expand their footprint into Texas. And they bring in BYU, and they bring in maybe Texas Tech, or maybe it's TCU, or the case may be. And so BYU at some point, I agree with Feinbaum, probably going to play a role in somebody's addition to their conference somewhere down the line.
I agree, though. I don't think the Big 12, because the, you know, again, the option is to bring in some powerhouse schools that can make up OU and Texas. And
but those schools almost, aren't out there, really, right? Though.
It's almost impossible. So making the schools pick a different place to land, it almost seems like it's a more realistic outcome, doesn't it? I mean, it just, what, like you said, what schools can come into the Big 12 and make it what it once was? There's not those schools out there.
But the conference that right now has themselves in a position to maybe get themselves into Power 5 status,
yeah,
is the American.
Yeah.
They already have Central Florida, your mythical national champions when Scott Frost was there. Houston, Cincinnati, which was a college football playoff contender this year. BYU would make some sense. And then maybe they look to add a TC or somebody like that. That's a possibility. That's a conference that could, with an addition of maybe TCU and BYU, that could make the American certainly not SEC level, maybe not even Big Ten level, but certainly would put them probably right around the same territory as the Pac-12 right now. So that's where we could see this. I think it's going to be the vultures are going to come out. And it's going to be who, it'll be a land grab.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets who? Who's going to strengthen their conference? Will the Pac-12 make a move to do that? Will the American make a move to do that? The American is, they have always been very, very adamant about it. They want to put themselves into a Power 5 conference category. They have not hid those intentions at all. This could be their opportunity to make that happen. So if you got some thoughts on that today, text or call us 970-242-1340 on Colorado going back to the Big 12. I there's part of me from a nostalgia standpoint that says, yeah, it'd be great to have them go back there. But that's going to have to be if Nebraska goes back there too. And who else are you going to get? Is BYU going to join? Then maybe you've got a fighting chance if you get some of those schools to go there. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
Yeah.
And I don't think Colorado, I think Dom is right. I think they feel their position is a Pac-12 school now. I don't see where the Big 12 has enough clout anymore to get Colorado to go, well, yeah, let's go back to the Big 12. I think they're hoping that with a new commissioner and maybe a better approach to how they market that conference, TV rights, those kind of things, that the Pac-12 is in a far better position right now than the Big 12 is, by a long shot. Why would you leave a pretty good ship, maybe not the best ship in the fleet, but a good one, to go to the Titanic or the SS Minnow, which is what the Big 12 is now?
Yeah.
It's a sinking ship.
Mm-hmm.
Text or call us 970-242-1340. Okay, so here's the Baker clip. This is Baker Mayfield, former Oklahoma Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Browns quarterback, on the possibility of his alma mater going to the SEC.
Former Big 12 player, what are your thoughts on the ruling against Hornstown?
You don't think you know my thoughts on the ruling Hornstown?
I mean, I feel like I know your thoughts, but...
So should it be a penalty if they do horns up at another player? I'm asking you.
I think so, if they're going to rule it against it down.
I'm just happy they're protecting the Longhorns now.
Okay, that's about horns up, yeah. Horns down.
Yeah, that's what... Sorry.
Okay.
No, that's what we got. That's what he referred to as far as you asked me to find the college football conversation, and that's what I found.
Okay, well, let me get to what Baker Mayfield, he did talk about the horns down thing.
Yes.
That's going to be a penalty now. But what he said was essentially that he felt like it was a mistake.
Yeah.
That if they decide to leave and go to the SEC... Here's the exact quote from Baker Mayfield on this, that it would ruin the Big 12. It would be done. That's Baker Mayfield's comment from that.
Oh.
It's okay.
Didn't track that one down.
So it's
my
all right.
Bad.
That's okay.
I'm all over here reading these nice texts. Sorry.
You're just basking in the glow of the love of the pile this morning. That's okay.
I totally
okay.
grabbed the wrong clip.
That's but, okay. But yeah. Baker Mayfield is very much against the idea of Oklahoma leaving the Big 12. So if you got some thoughts today, on should Colorado go back to the Big 12? Or is it truly a sinking ship, which I think it's sunk if this does happen? And listening to Paul Feinbaum and reading some other articles, they've wanted out for a while, and they're going to get out. If it's $76 million a piece to buy themselves out, they feel like they'll recoup that, you know, and probably, you know, triple that money down the road by being a member of the SEC. So if you got some thoughts on that today, text or call us 970-242-1340. Do you want to get to the NFL, the memo that came out yesterday to teams in regard to vaccinations for COVID? That the NFL, the first thing, one of the things they've done, they've added an additional COVID-19 vaccination incentive for players. So the league has set up a series of incentives. Let's start out with the carrot before we get to the whip on this whole thing. Goodell wrote, this is from Roger Goodell, defender of the Shield, more than 75% of NFL players are at least partially vaccinated, and more than half of the league's teams have player vaccination rates above 80%. So Goodell's encouraged players to get vaccinated, but has not required it as per the agreement with the NFL Players Association. And so, you know, they have some incentives that are part of this. Unvaccinated players will be subject to severe protocols during training camp and the regular season, including daily testing, mask wearing, and travel restrictions. The memo made it clear that unvaccinated players could, in theory, be responsible for the losses of games and paychecks as well. So a new policy is focusing in on a scenario that never occurred in 2020, where the NFL postponed 5 games, moved 10 others to accommodate outbreaks. There were no forfeitures last year in the NFL. This year, a forfeit will be called if all the following circumstances occur. A game is postponed by requirement of government authorities or medical experts or at the discretion of the commissioner because of ongoing health concerns of an outbreak. The league can't find a suitable date to reschedule within the 18-week framework of the regular season. The original postponement was caused by an outbreak among unvaccinated players of one team. The NFL was able to reschedule all the games last year, but they're not going to go to the same extremes. They're not going to play on a Tuesday or Wednesday. The memo adds, whether to reschedule a postponed game will be dependent on health and safety reasons at the recommendation of medical experts, as well as considerations of stadium availability, schedule integrity, fan convenience, and other appropriate matters. Now, if it does occur, players from both teams will lose their game checks. And the team that suffered the outbreak will be responsible for any shortfall in the league's revenue-sharing pool and will also be credited with a loss for the purposes of playoff seeding, with the opposing team getting a win. So the forfeit will work like a regular forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
But both teams will not be paid.
It's a hard to understand that, right? I mean,
clearly they want to put pressure on every player to get vaccinated. We may have a high vaccination rate on our team. It's 95% or whatever. You're not vaccinated. Okay. What can you, are you going to be willing to live with the possibility that, you know, of discouraging people from getting vaccinated or getting yourself vaccinated because you could still end up losing a game check?
Yeah.
It's going to create division in locker rooms. I referenced that with the Buffalo Bills situation with Cole Beasley. That Cole Beasley has been one of the more outspoken players about getting vaccinated. And so what kind of pressure is that going to be in that locker room for the guys like himself that have made the decision not to get vaccinated? And that look, you're putting us at a jeopardy of losing football games, of having to forfeit a game. If somehow you contract it, it gets to other guys. Other guys have breakthrough, and they got vaccinated, but they get a breakthrough test, and they have to sit out. They can't play a game, even though they did the thing they felt like they had to do, which was get vaccinated. But a positive test is still, even if it's asymptomatic, going to force them to have to forfeit a game.
Well, and I think that is kind of the approach that I don't know if it's not that I have a problem with it. It's just like, wow, that's what they're doing. Like, one ruins it for everybody? I mean, now you're saying that it's not just people on your team, it's people in the league. I mean, everybody's going to be affected by this because, again, if they're not going to pay either team, if one has to forfeit, that is to me where it's like, how are they going to do that? You know, Robert did send us a text, and I think his were the NFL can withhold an employee's check/wages after that person has put in the work for the week. Like, and then with a question mark, like that's kind of like, wow, they can do that. But
yeah.
I understand like the process behind it, how they're like, we just really want everybody to be safe and healthy. And again, boiling down to, we want to make our money this season, you know, like that's it.
Yeah, as simple as that. Now you have John Feliciano that plays guard for the Bills.
Yeah.
Who also tweeted, it's been proven that COVID was made in a lab.
Okay, it hasn't been proven. So it
hasn't been proven. I'm not saying that isn't a possibility.
Yeah.
Because there's been some growing sentiment that possibly happened, but we don't know that for certain. We don't know. We don't know if it came from bats. We don't know if it came from a lab. Here's the point about that, though. That's an irrelevant point. It doesn't matter where it came from. What matters is there's a vaccine that can prevent you from getting it, or at least reduce the symptoms if you do contract it. That's factual. The other, when he tweets, that's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point of tweeting that? Where it came from about this discussion is entirely irrelevant. And that's some of the dug-in mindset about not getting the vaccine. Some things are coming up that actually have nothing to do with the reason you're getting the vaccine, why you're doing it. And this is the kind of stuff that's going to create problems in locker rooms.
Yeah.
The vaccinated are going to have an issue with the unvaccinated. There's going to be guys saying, don't cost me money. You are going to cost me money, guys that are not vaccinated. Unvaccinated are going to say it's my right to choose whether I get it or not. And that's going to be a battle that's not going to be pretty going forward. Not pretty at all. Also, we referenced this in what's happening earlier today about Greg Knapp. One-time Broncos assistant coach Greg Knapp died over the weekend. He was struck by a car while riding his bicycle out in the Bay Area. He was hired in January by Robert Saleh to be on the Jets staff this season. But Greg Knapp, just 58 years old, never regained consciousness and died surrounded by his mom, wife, and three daughters and a brother. So just a sad loss for the NFL. Offensive coordinator for the 49ers, Falcons, Raiders, Seahawks, and the Texans. He was the Broncos quarterbacks coach for four seasons. He was their quarterback coach when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Peyton Manning.
2015, Super Bowl 50. All right, 818, Jim along with Katie today. Text or call us 970-242-1340. Let's see. We've got Jude. Let's see. Thank you for covering the fine print of the COVID-19 update. Let's see. I'm looking here to see. Talent is pretty even across the board, save for the blue chippers that Alabama gobbles up. But scheming your game plan around the talent you have is the separation between bad, good, and great teams. CU needs to throw $10 million at someone great, and everything else will fall into place. Thank you, Ms. Mitchell, for being amazing.
Oh, thanks, Jude.
He says, I would like to also say I feel coaching is the most underrated facet in football. That's what he's referring to with the other comments. And then he had some comments as well about the NFL and their COVID protocol, the forfeitures of games and things like that. So, let's see, Robert, Katie, before you leave, you must give us your NFL predictions.
Oh.
For example, do you agree with me that the Rams and the Packers will end up in last place in their respective divisions?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Packers have just a whole mess of problems ahead of them this season. I think that, you know, there's a good chance that they're in the bottom there. And, you know, Rams too. I would agree with you on both of those, Robert.
Rams are not going to finish last in the NFC West. I get it, Robert. You hate Matthew Stafford.
No.
I get it. You hate him. Their defense is still too good. He's going to make them better. I don't know if Seattle... I think the Rams are a more complete football team right now. I think Seattle's defense
is an
Achilles heel for them. Obviously, Russell Wilson gives them a chance to win that division every year.
Every time, yeah.
I'm not sold on Arizona, to be quite honest. And as far as the NFC North, I don't know. You've got the Lions there. And when the Lions are always there, there's always a chance you don't finish last.
Yeah.
As long as the Lions are in that division.
The Lions will take it then.
So I'm not buying that those teams finish in last. They may not win their divisions, but they're certainly not going to finish last, I don't think. Not both of them anyway. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Steve Reier, Delta Panthers baseball coach, will join us to talk about the summer for the Panthers. We'll get to that next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
We're going to be here a while. Would you like to talk?
Talk to me!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 825. Jim along with Katie Mitchell. Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. All right, breaking news this morning. Breaking news. We don't know what the Washington football team is going to be called. We won't know until next year.
Yeah.
But we know what they're going to call Cleveland's baseball team going forward. Since 1915, they've been known as the Indians. Next year, they will become the Guardians.
The Cleveland Guardians. Got a text from Jared that says, can we get a comment from Rio on that?
I do. He digs it.
Does he?
He digs it.
Oh.
Sounds to me like a name of a football team in a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
XFL had the Guardians, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes me feel like there's a raccoon on their team. Yeah. And,
exactly. You know, Dave Bautista's going to show up to throw out the first pitch, yeah, or Chris Pratt.
Yes, exactly. That when they say
they're the Guardians,
I was like,
of the American League Central.
I mean, I get they had to change their name and everything, but yeah, I'm surprised. I don't know. Rio likes it. Glass half empty kind of guy.
See, I thought that he would go, oh, that's a lame name.
Yeah.
I thought his reaction would be negative.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite positive.
Well, you know,
and
good
I've got
for
the
him.
I've got the negative. I'm like, I know, it's like, not the worst name in the world, but I just let me hear it on my ears a little bit, and I'll, you know, I don't want to make a final proclamation that I think it's a terrible name.
Yeah. I don't want to say terrible.
It's lame. I think it's lame. It's not terrible. It's just
there's
got to
be better names out there.
Yeah, exactly.
What I think. Yeah.
Like, why not the Cleveland Panthers?
Yeah. Ooh. Like, I like the Panthers. Like the Panthers, great mascot.
Like the Delta Panthers.
Yeah.
And joining us right now, head coach of the Delta baseball team. See how we have made that whole thing come together? Delta Panthers head coach Steve Reier joins us. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good morning. How are you two doing?
Doing fine today. I know you have a tea time coming up at Devil's Thumb, so we don't want to keep you too long.
Yeah.
Because you got some money to earn out there on the course today, right?
Oh man, let's hope not.
Okay,
let's hope not.
just for fun. No. Michael Jordan's not showing up. No wagering involved today.
No. And I stopped betting my son probably 10 years ago because it's been about that long since I've been able to hang with him. So
okay, smart man. You're a wise man. That's why your Delta baseball team always does as well as they do. Of course, you guys finished 10-8 this past season, 8-4 in the 3A Western Slope League, and made it to the postseason. You had the win against Cortez, but then lost to Lutheran in that second game in 3A state tournament play. But a very compressed season, Steve. I've talked to a lot of other baseball coaches that had that. Obviously, everybody had that situation this year. Probably just a couple days off, and then you guys were right back at it for summer ball. So was it a good situation to have your kids be around your kids as much as you've been able to with the way the schedule kind of played out?
Yeah, I think so. After last summer, I think we played four games last summer, and they were just kind of, pickup games. So this year, it was a unique situation, but being able to, literally, like you said, we got home on Monday from playoffs. We had Tuesday off, Wednesday off, and then we started playing games again. And with, as young as we were, I think that was a benefit for us. First time in history of our program, we actually had two 16U teams this year because we are so young. And, we didn't have anything for our 18U kids, basically because nobody around here, maybe one or two teams, had 18U teams. And as a result, we have three or four seniors to be that didn't get any work in. But, trying to schedule those games was definitely a challenge.
Steve Reier, coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team, with us. So, kind of take us through the summer schedule, Steve. Some of the teams that you played throughout the course of the summer.
Mostly local teams. We played Montrose a couple times, Fruita, Central, Glenwood. So mostly the local teams. And again, it was just because, you know, in years past, we've always sat down. Ray McLennan's always organized our summer stuff, and we sit down in January and we make a schedule, and that just didn't happen this year. So this year was more, you know, kind of do it on your own, call a coach and say, hey, can you guys play on Tuesday night and get some things scheduled? And then we played in a couple tournaments. We played in the Montrose tournament and the Fruita tournament with our younger kids, which was a great experience, because right now it's just a matter of getting reps, getting confidence. You know, I think most of those kids have played at the varsity level this year, and we had five freshmen that played at the varsity level. They really grew over the spring, and I think even more so this summer.
Steve Ryer, coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. Was there a focus on a particular position, Steve, in terms of getting guys innings and building some depth? Was it addressing pitching for this next baseball season, trying to look at and see what you have some of your younger guys there? What were some of the focuses of your summer league schedule?
Oh, pitching definitely was a focus for us. You know, we know, you go up and down the state tournament, state playoffs, and everybody has one good arm. You know, that just kind of seems how it rolls, you know. But if you have that, two, three guy that can come in and get outs, that, I mean, it just, it's huge at state, at the playoff level. So, you know, we developed, and we've done it over the last few years, you know, developed that, that guy that we can go to in a pinch. And, I think we probably developed, 7 or 8 guys this summer between the two teams, you know, and obviously not as much as we would like, in terms of innings, but, we did get to see some kids work, and, definitely looks good for the future.
Steve Ryer, coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. And like you said, your team is really young. When you look at some of the guys like Braden Sprout that had such an outstanding season at the plate for you, Braden hit .403. Nolan Bynum's brother, Rylan, hit .326. He's only a freshman, of course, heading into his sophomore season. Likewise for Connor Workman as well. You have so many young guys, and imagine when you played Landon Wareham and Montrose, they're a really young team too. I hate to use the term kiddie core, but you guys had two really young baseball teams, but guys are getting a lot of varsity experience. Young, yes, but now starting to get a lot of time at the varsity level.
Yeah, and it's at the time you're thinking, oh man, this is going to be a roller coaster season, but you kind of expect that going in with youth. You know, I had a former mentor that I used to talk to a lot, Bruce Keith, who's the football coach here in Delta, and he's telling me, Steve, for every freshman or sophomore you have in your starting lineup, you're probably going to have a loss. And, you know, I looked at the numbers, and he was right on. And, you know, going into that, you just kind of have to, you know, not necessarily lower your expectations, but you have to be realistic with your expectations and know that this is going to be a season to grow. And, I think from where we started in March to where we ended up in June, we grew leaps and bounds. And I can't even tell you how excited I am to see what we become next year and then even the year after that and so forth. It's going to be a fun ride.
Who are a couple of kids from the start of the baseball season to when you guys finished up with Summer League, that couple of those young guys that you said, boy, I really saw a lot of growth from, fill in the blank on maybe a couple of guys that you saw tremendous improvement throughout the course of the season?
Oh, definitely Rylan Bynum. I think his was the confidence thing, and then he came up big. You know, I think back to the Palisade game, he kind of sparked us for our big inning that we had. You know, he hit the 3-run triple. And he did the same thing at against Cortez over in the playoffs. And it's just, I think he's kind of grown into that spot that, we can look at him at a 2-3 hole spot, you know, and know that he's going to produce. Another one I would say is Landon Clay. We kind of threw him to the Wolves, you know, at shortstop and, third base. And he played a key role for us, and he had some big hits. You know, his average wasn't, people look at and say, wow, this kid had a great year. But when you look at his RBI production for and his on-base percentage. And he did some great things for us as well. And you mentioned Sprout, and you mentioned Connor Workman. Those two, again, it was a confidence thing. And I think as the season went, those two got more and more confidence and were able to do good things for us. So those four are the biggest names I would say that we saw some good things. And Logan Clay as well behind the plate, you know, coming in as in some spot duty. And he's earned the nickname Bulldog because that's just kind of his mentality. And at the plate, he came up with some big hits for us in pinch hit situations and so forth.
Delta baseball coach Steve Reier with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. So a little golf today. Of course, we got school starting very, very soon. Golf or fishing? Which one do you think you're better at, or do you even fish at all?
Oh, I fish. I do a lot of fishing. I don't do a lot of catching.
That sounds like the not catching part, Steve, sounds like me.
Yeah, I was at a wedding this weekend, and one of my friend's sons were there, who's an avid fly fisherman. So I was getting tips from him, try to increase my catch percentage. But I love to fly fish, and I enjoy golfing. But I have thrown so much batting practice in the last 27 years that I can't straighten my right elbow, and every once in a while I hit a shot that, I can feel it all the way to my
right.
bones.
So, yeah.
Might be an age thing too. I don't know.
could be. I just think it's all the time you're throwing BP. It's not the age.
Yeah.
Let's
go with that. Let's go with that. It makes me feel better about myself.
It's more repetitive motion injury. Not age. Age has nothing to do with it.
There you go.
No, we've kind of started this little debate with some of the high school coaches, in football and baseball, because Cam Ross at Fruita Monument, their football coach, went up to Alaska and had a nice little haul, caught a big fish up in Alaska, and I brought that up to Landon Wareham, who went to college with Cam at Mesa back in the day. Landon Wareham says, he thinks he's the best fishing coach. And I'm probably putting some words into his mouth that he didn't actually say. But he's very confident he could beat pretty much anybody fishing.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is, I don't know anything about Landon's fishing skills. I know he and his dad fish a lot, but as big a competitor as he is, I can definitely see him making those claims and backing those claims.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think if we have like a FanDuel, high school coaches, betting
fish
opportunity,
off.
A fish off. Yeah, Landon might get a lot of money on him. Might possibly be the case.
Hey, I would bet on him for sure.
Well,
I would bet on him.
Steve, enjoy your day at Devil's Thumb today. I always appreciate the time with you. Thanks for coming on today.
Hey, you bet, Jim. Thank you.
Take care. Enjoy the rest of your summer, Steve.
Thank you.
All right, Steve Reier, coach of the Delta Panthers baseball team, joining us. All right, text or call 970-242-1340. Just a quick reminder, by the way, the Delta football team, they have their golf tournament coming up, their fundraiser golf tournament. You can go to the Delta Panther Facebook page for football to get the information on that. And we're actually going to talk on Monday with Andrew Decker from Fruita Monument about their golf tournament that's coming up. Grand Junction had theirs a while back and a very successful golf tournament. So some of those things happening right now, trying to raise some money here during the offseason before the season gets underway. All right, 8:37, Jim along with Katie today, Katie's last show. So what's been a highlight moment for you on this show? Was it Katie Wingy?
Yeah, that's always a lot of fun, but I think you guys, the fact that you indulge me a little bit, I'm kind of a geek about certain things. The Nuggets, when I named my cats after the starting five, remember Jamal Purry?
Right.
And Purry Craig, back when Torrey Craig was still part of the Nuggets.
I was talking with Kendi yesterday about you leaving, and I brought that up about your kittens that, Jamal Purry. Still the best one of the bunch, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Paul Millcat also.
Paul Millcat was really good.
Jokic. We had a few of them. But no, again, just the fact that you guys kind of let me be me, I think that's always a common theme here on the team, and I truly, truly appreciate that. But, JUCO's always a lot of fun back here. High school football season, I was just telling you about when we have the full coverage and full court coverage for basketball as well when we're running multiple games.
Right.
And you know what I mean? It's just so much, so intense. And I really feed off that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of big moments for sure.
Well,
there is.
You've been a fantastic part of our team, and we're going to miss having you around here, but wish you nothing
Thank
but the
you.
Best of luck over in Denver. So today, the name is out for the Cleveland baseball team.
Yeah.
It's no, Robert, I don't feel like I said the Gardeners. It's the Guardians.
Gardeners.
Not the Gardeners. The Guardians.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to dig you right up.
Couldn't the front office delve into the history of the city to find a more connected name? A lot of people thought it was going to be the Spiders, because that was the name before the Indians was the Cleveland Spiders. So there was some thought that it would be Spiders.
Yeah.
But no, it's the Cleveland Guardians. You want to hear, this was how they introduced the name today with that B-rate actor Tom Hanks. I'm just kidding. I love Tom Hanks. Narrating the Indians unveiling the new name.
We are a city on the rise, forging into the future from our ironed out past. We are a city of fire and water, of trees and towers.
Usually fire and
built through
water.
Generations of blue collars and the brightest scholars and all of those who have worked harder. We hold tight to our roots and set our sights on tomorrow. And this is our team that has stood with our city for more than a century, from Old Municipal to the corner of Carnegie. A team that has seen its own progress and prosperity. Its history flows like the river through the heart of this city. A history that has given us miraculous moments. Moments that spanned years and others 22 games. Moments that broke barriers and moments that broke hearts. Moments that prove this is more than a game. We remember those moments as we move forward with change. You see, it has always been Cleveland that's the best part of our name.
Huh.
And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest.
Guard, get it?
Come together and welcome all who want to join us. We are loyal and proud and resilient. We protect what we've earned and always defend it. Together we stand with all who understand what it means to be born and built from the land. Because this is the city we love and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
All right, then Black Keys, by the way, of course, from Ohio. And the logo is kind of, the lettering is kind of like some of the previous Cleveland lettering on the jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's better than what it was. I said, and Buckeye Boy likes it. You know, all that matters is if the fans of the Cleveland baseball team like it.
Exactly. They're the ones who matter.
Tom Hanks. Okay. You got me there, Tom Hanks.
He's very dramatic.
It was a good call. It was a good call, Cleveland Guardians.
Well, but is he from Cleveland? Like, why is he narrating this? Like, what now, is the connection?
Yeah, the music was the Black Keys, and they're from
Cleveland. But Tom Hanks, I was like, he's from California. He's born in Concord, but
so I'm not sure of Tom Hanks' exact connection to the whole thing. But
very dramatic. It reminded me of a truck commercial, but it was still like, I think that it'll stick with people after a while.
I think
like
so,
you said,
too.
Like once we start saying the name and you know, we get used to it. It's just a surprise. I would have went with the Spiders. Once you mentioned that,
cool.
I was like, I'm actually terrified of spiders. That sounds like a great mascot.
It's intimidating. It's scary.
Yeah.
Had to kill one last night.
Yeah.
Kind of thought she'd normally I get spiders eat bugs and we try to, you know, when you can, you try to just put them outside because they actually do serve a fine purpose in Mother Nature, but if there's one on the, you know, scurrying around and you're not going to be able to catch it and put it outside, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's going to go down.
Because if that thing's running around in your house and you don't know where it is, that's almost
worse. Kenda thought she killed it last night. There was one by the toilet and she thought she got it and it got away.
Oh.
So we're trying to like keep the spider from running into our bedroom.
Yeah.
From our bathroom. And they're like, close the door. And so she's trying to head it off behind the toilet and I have to reach down behind the toilet and I got it. And it's like, I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
You're not going to survive this.
Well, and especially after she made him mad, because you don't want an angry spider running
exactly.
around. Like, I tried to kill you. You're aware of that. And now
but
you're going to come after
me. I'm always damn impressed that, you know, because And we have guys that are scared of spiders. Oh, yeah. But she's like, now I'm going to get that thing. And it's like, okay, she couldn't get it. And I'm like, okay, I'll reach, because I got a longer arm. I can reach down by the toilet and grab it. And so, yeah. It's always brave. She's always never, spiders don't freak her out.
Spider killer.
That's right. Well, it's not like she has a t-shirt or anything that she wears. She doesn't wear that like with a badge of honor, like I'm out to kill some spiders or going down. Not like that. No, nothing like that.
I liked her even more once I thought that had that thought in my head. Kenda.
She's not relishing
ruthless
the chance to kill them. No. No, she's not a cold-blooded killer. No. All right, 844. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Four down territory on the way next on the Jim Davis Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 848. Jim along with Katie Mitchell today, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Okay, Buckeyes providing some context on the Guardians' name. In the Hope Bridge on Cleveland, or in Cleveland, my phone, of course, decides it's going to shut off right as I'm trying to read this. Thanks a lot, phone.
Mm-hmm.
On the Hope Bridge in Cleveland, there's a statue called the Guardian of Traffic. It's a big thing in the city. So there's a local tie-in to it.
Okay.
Thank you for providing clarification. It wasn't they decided to rip off a Marvel movie and steal the name from Guardians of the Galaxy. That's good.
Yeah.
It has a local tie to it. Because that's what I have in my head. It.
He also said, like the Simpsons movie, Cleveland borrowed some of Tom Hanks' credibility.
Oh.
Which also sums that up for us, because we were confused. Why Tom Hanks? I mean, great actor.
Right.
A-list, obviously, but he's not even from Cleveland or Ohio.
Cleveland's Hope Memorial Bridge, which is near Progressive Field, features a pair of statues at each end. The statues are known as the Guardians. And they're shown in the video, by the way.
Okay.
If you want to watch the video with Tom Hanks and the Black Keys providing the music for that. And they've got the logos out. The one is the writing, it's kind of a font style that was kind of like the old Cleveland Indians font style of the 70s a little bit. And then there's the logo that has the two G's. And they're like on each side of a baseball, and the two G's have wings on them. Okay. In reference to the Guardian statues on the bridge. And then there's the Block C that they kind of currently have. It's a little bit different Block C. And then just Cleveland and a similar font to the Guardians font.
They're making it work.
Yeah, it's going to work.
Yeah.
And okay, and so I like it a little more now that I understand there's some significance to the name.
Yeah.
And a tie to Cleveland.
I didn't know about the statues. So
I did not either. So thank you, Buckeye. Okay. I still think spiders would have been better.
Yeah.
Been fun.
Yeah.
But Guardians is a good name. Okay, I like it. Now that I know more about it, I've warmed up to it a little bit more.
I mean, could you imagine all the fun you could have with arachnophobia, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Spiders, I mean, gosh, it would have been endless.
Exactly. It's arachnid night at the ballpark.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a spider. Yeah. An actual live spider.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
I wouldn't go to that one.
Okay. Well, they have a night brought to you by Raid. I don't know.
Raid.
I don't know about that. That sounds kind of, you
seems
know.
Seems like a spider's nemesis.
Exactly. So. It seems like it'd be a bad thing. It would be bad to do that. Okay, let's get to.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Yeah, I've already kind of burned up. That was going to be one of my four down territory. I'll have to find something else here. Miguel Sano. Paying tribute to his traded teammate Thursday. Nelson Cruz, if you have not heard, was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays in the biggest pre-deadline move so far. Don't forget the 30th is the MLB trade deadline, Rockies fans. And Sano was sad to see his former teammate go, and he honored Cruz by wearing the DH's pants.
Ooh.
I'm going to assume those were laundered.
Did they just
think?
Switch? Like, you know.
behind
the scenes, or how did that go down?
He left him a pair of pants and said, hey, here buddy, here you go. Good thing they were the same size,
yeah,
right? I guess
exactly.
That worked out nicely. All right, second down. New Orleans Saints. They begin the post-Drew Brees era with either Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill as their quarterback. That's already a challenge. Guess what? For whoever's their signal caller, it's going to get even tougher.
Why?
Because Michael Thomas, star wide receiver, will miss the start of the season after undergoing surgery to repair ligaments in his ankle, according to Ian Rappaport.
Ooh.
He had the procedure done in June, expected to miss 4 months, so he is going to be out for a while. He originally injured the ankle in week one, played in 7 games, and then got shut down the rest of the way. So,
wow, that's a lingering issue then.
And that's a huge, huge loss to that offense for whoever ends up quarterbacking that team.
Oh,
all right,
my goodness.
Third and fourth down, your final four-down territory.
I know, and we've talked about NFL players and them being outspoken about the new memo that was sent out yesterday, DeAndre Hopkins, his comments about questioning his future in the league. He deleted those comments, by the way, then posted freedom with a question mark. Tampa Bay running back Leonard Fournette, he says, vaccine, I can't do it. But his teammate, Shaq Barrett, he said back in May, he and his wife have been fully vaccinated, but as far as his teammates, it's to each his own. I don't know why people wouldn't get it, but whatever makes you comfortable, whatever helps you sleep at night, you do that. So, as we said, I think there's just going to be more division with this being brought in. But fourth down, there's a really neat article in the Denver Post about the Olympians representing Colorado at the Olympics in Tokyo. There's 34 folks from the Centennial State who made the trip. Colorado has the third largest group of people heading to the Games behind California and Florida. The oldest, 40-year-old cross-country mountain biker Erin Huck, who's making her first trip to the Games, and the youngest, 17-year-old sport climber Colin Duffy. That article in the Denver Post has links to all the athletes, so you can go learn a little bit more about them. It's really neat.
Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, Colorado well represented.
Yes.
At the Olympics, no doubt about that. And by the way, one of them actually competed here in Grand Junction over at CMU's new track facility. Emma Coburn, who's from Crested Butte.
Oh, okay. Neat.
So she actually competed over there here a couple of months ago. She was in town for that. All right, 8:54. Jim along with Katie today. That is four down territory. Katie's last show before, of course, leaving town, going to Denver.
Yeah.
To go work for the Fan and also go work for the media school that you attended previously.
Yeah. Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So some great opportunities for you. We're going to miss having you around here. So
yeah, I'm going to miss it. Like finally setting in for me, like my last couple hours. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is happening.
got a nice text from Dylan this morning. And Dylan says, have no clue what Colorado should do. Because one of our questions is, should the Buffs try to go back to the Big 12?
Yeah.
But that ship, there may be no Big 12 for them to go back to. But Dylan wishes they could have a winning football program. And good luck, Katie. You're going to miss your energy on the show and on the vault. Because, of course, you work over on the vault.
Yeah, thanks,
as well.
Dylan. That's really sweet.
Mike from Scottsdale. Happy Apache Friday, muchachos. Best wishes to you, Katie. Here's a farewell haiku for you.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll miss you, Katie. Enjoy the Mile High City. But traffic